And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray, along with Corey Sandin today, co-hosting with me. And hang on to your hats. We have a great show for you today because Captain Joel Ralston, a legend in the San Diego fleet and now commercial albacore fishing, is here. Going to be talking some fishing here with Captain Joel, so you stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. It's truck month at your local San Diego County Ford dealers. The biggest deals of the year on Ford trucks are happening now. From Pro Power Onboard to Blue Cruise Tech and the Ford Security Package, Ford's award-winning truck lineup is built with the power and utility to help you take on whatever life throws your way. From F-Series, America's best-selling truck, to the Ford Maverick and the Ford Ranger, built to take you everywhere from work to play. Check out the entire lineup of Ford trucks and take a test drive today. Go to your local San Diego County Ford dealers today.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And
yeah,
man, if you weren't ready for today's show, you are now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, for sure. And great to have you, Corey. How was that PCS show for you?
Oh my gosh.
You're a busy guy.
I'm thankful it's over in a good way. You know, and I hats off to Bill and Mike and the crew and Jess.
Yeah, did a great job.
Oh, an amazing job.
Were you in town for that? Joel?
Is that what used to be the Fred Hall show?
It is, but it's several layers better.
Oh?
Yeah, I think you
ought
to get through.
I haven't been part of one of those since I was forced to do those when I have, well, not really forced. I'm kind of people friendly, so I like doing those shows, but I haven't gone to the new deal.
I think one on albacore fishing would be great if Bill and Mike are listening.
Yeah.
I know they do.
Get a little but everyone down here would be going, Alba what?
You're right.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
How long do you think, by the way?
It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
At least, I think.
Did you used to catch albacore down here when you had the Relentless and all that?
From time to time. Yeah, because there was the big drought after in 85, September is when it started. I remember that. I was working on the Bull Contender. And then it's like, next year, it's, wow, where'd they go? We were catching 250, 300 fish a day, and it's just like, oh, poof, they went away.
Yeah.
And then when I was on the Legend for Bill and Frank, we started catching those things again. And then I bought the Conquest. So the whole time I had the Conquest was all albacore. Then in the fall, yellowfin and whatnot, and a little bit of big eye.
Yeah, remember that.
And then the Relentless, most of the years I had the Relentless were albacore.
Yeah,
and then we had a little drought where there wasn't much product for like 3 or 4 years. It was pretty lean around here.
Yeah, it was.
That's right when the housing market crashed, and there was no fish, and it was just a bad time to try to make a boat payment, house payment, boat payment, house payment.
Yeah. And to catch a bluefin back in those days was
completely
nearly
different. People used to sleep at night.
I'm telling you, right?
You'd see a sonar mark in the daytime. You'd throw a bunch of bait. They'd start jumping around. You'd stop, and everyone would break out their Jigmaster or 30-pound. Nobody had two speeds.
Right.
Nobody was geared up for those things at all. So it'd be 80 to those 100-pound bluefin on 30-pound string. And they pull on them, they pull on them, they pull on them. They get a little, they lose a little, they get a little, they lose a little, they get a little. 2 hours, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours later. Oh, we can see it.
Right.
But chew the guy off.
Yeah.
And grown men were weeping. It was tough. Nobody had the tackle for it.
No.
It was crazy.
And super light line. And
yeah, yeah, 30 pound.
A finicky bite.
Everyone had some Maxima or some Andy on a 30 pound, you know, on a Jigmaster. 90% of the fish that 3.0s, 4.0s are a Jigmaster, but all single speed reels. The crew had to wind in most of those fish.
I mean, thought that you could catch one at night though, now, huh?
Well, now it's like almost not worth fishing in the daytime.
Yeah.
And all the schedules are backwards.
Yeah.
Everything's a reverse this, reverse that. We leave in the morning, travel all day, fish
right.
all night. It's different.
It's different.
It's different. I mean, it works. If it works, yeah. don't fix it. But
and a blessing in many ways as well. I mean, the last 13, 14 years of this bluefin cycle has truly been amazing for the fleet.
Yeah. I mean, it's really helped.
And the lack of albacore. Where do you think, what is the status of albacore? I mean, that's your main position.
Well, yeah, that's what we catch nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me.
Right. And you'll travel 1,000 miles? I mean, how far?
Well, we fish off Washington and Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, the fish get right up on the beach.
Like how close?
Cell phone range.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes
wow.
it's 50 fathoms. I mean, this stuff gets right up on the beach. Wherever that water change is,
uh-huh.
it gets it
Following
right
the bait.
There. Yeah. And then, that's what we catch. I mean, sometimes it's 800 miles off the beach at 23. I think the fish were really far off the beach, and then it showed up on the beach. So there was like a couple of bodies of fish. But
yeah.
last year was a really good year. It was like the best jigging that those guys had seen, or us guys, I guess.
Yeah,
had seen
you're part
for,
of that fleet now.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, it was really good fishing.
Yeah. So give us a. I mean, you kind of ran down all the different boats. How'd you get started as a fisherman in the San Diego sport fishing?
Oh, my dad took me fishing on the Prowler when I was 6 years old, and
wow.
that was it.
Wow. You grew up in San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember the guy's name. It was Grosbeck's second ticket. He was really loud, really funny. He was on the bait tank. It was a spring trip. I caught a big yellowtail, and I caught a 19-pound bonita when I was 6 years old.
19
It was
pounds.
Huge. I can remember old guys pulling my fish out of their bag going, blankety blank kids, you know, because it was bigger than most of the yellowtail.
Wow.
That's a jumbo.
That's a giant.
And I figured, I said, this is it. It got hard for my parents to get me to go to school after that. All I wanted to do was fish.
Fish.
And they don't teach fishing at Collier Junior High or Point Loma High or anything like that.
So, and what was your first job in the business?
I worked on the San Diego for Bob Williams.
Really? For the legend of La Jolla?
Yes. Well, wow. he's more than the legend. That guy... He's my illegitimate father.
Yeah, pretty amazing guy.
Yeah, yeah, yes, he is.
Do you still talk to him today, Joel?
I see him as much as I can.
Yeah,
he's not doing well. His back's pretty messed up.
Right, right.
But he's probably sitting at home right now in his reclining chair.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully, listening to you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, he listened to me a lot when he might not want to listen to me.
Yeah.
I used to be kind of loud.
So the San Diego was the first boat that
first boat I ever worked on, yeah.
Yeah, and all of that out of Seaforth. You spent many years at Seaforth, yeah?
Yeah, I used to walk, because I live up on the hill there at Point Loma.
Yeah.
So I could see Seaforth. Our view is of Mission Bay. So I could see it with my dad's binoculars. My dad used to have a pair of binoculars, and I could see how many people were on the boat. Couldn't quite, they didn't have stabies back then, you know. Couldn't see what was, you know, what kind of tails were hanging out of the bags, but I could see the boat going to the bait receiver coming in. So I used to walk there in the morning at Ojark 30, 3 or 4 rods, my tackle box, and my mom would pick me up. It used to be $3.75 to go half day fishing when I was a kid.
How crazy is that?
For a junior. And then you could re-ride in the afternoon for $1.75. So $5.25. I could fish La Jolla all day long with Bob Williams driving the boat, catch calico bass, barracuda, bonita.
Occasional yellow.
So that was the child care program. My mom would give me $10 at the beginning of the summer, and I go there and I get my ticket and catch a nice bag of bass, sell it at the top of the dock, get a little bit more money. So it just kept going and going. By the end of the summer, I had some money, and my parents didn't have to worry about where I was. I was on the boat.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And so from the San Diego, where did you go? Where was your next job?
It was Seaforth for the next 20 years.
20 years. I remember fishing with you on the Mission Bell.
Yeah,
for
so
that was Coronado the first Islands. You were the master over there.
I was like the relief operator for all the boats, and we used to have shark trips out of San Diego here. We'd leave at 7 at night to 4 in the morning. So blue sharks, mako sharks, stuff like that. So I got the graveyard shift of sport fishing. I got to do that, which would be like right on par with what's going on now. Fish all night and then sleep all day.
Right.
Except you don't have the gentleman coming on board with a David Bowie knife strapped to their calf.
Yeah, dressed up in camo, face paint.
Yeah.
The sharkers are a little strange, especially
You're not joking. I mean, that was the honest truth.
Like during Shark Week.
Yeah.
They really came out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
But,
well, thankfully, they're not a part of our fleet any longer.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then the Mission Bell was the first boat I ran full-time. So 4 years there. Then I was on the Legend for 4 years. I was on the four-year program. 4 years on the Bell, 4 years on the Legend, 4 years of the Conquest. Bought Bobby Taft's boat, the Top Gun, and named it the Relentless. And then have that for, well, I bought that boat twice. I'm not too smart. I had that boat for 14 years, I think.
Wow. That long.
Yeah.
So when you were on the Legend, when Frank brought it to Seaforth, it was previously
Tim
the
Linsky,
China Clipper.
David Aikida and myself brought it down from Ventura.
Okay.
And the previous owner had like 3 drops of fuel in each of the 4 fuel tanks. He said, you might want to get some fuel on the way down.
Yeah.
But it was a China Clipper.
It was a China Clipper, yes. So that guy took all the safety equipment off the boat.
Sold it.
There wasn't a tool. There wasn't a filter. There wasn't,
nothing.
I don't think there was enough fuel to get out of the harbor up there. So I said, well, here's our documentation. You know, this is what we need on the boat, according to the document. You know, X amount of life jackets, 10% for kids. And I said, well, we're all kind of tired. We're going to go away. We're going to get a room. We're going to take a nap. And when we come back, we want all this stuff to be back on the boat, or I'll just tell Frank that you're trying to rip him off. So
he's crazy.
And did he put it back on the boat?
Oh, yeah. It magically reappeared.
Magically. Here's what I remember, though. And this is an amazing story, that when that boat was redone, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, it was the first overnight, day-and-a-half boat to have the RSW.
Yeah, well, it was just spray brine, but no burlap sacks.
No burlap sacks.
And it was,
doesn't matter if it was a calico rockfish or a cow tuna.
It went down.
No
the
burlap sacks. Yeah. They had a chute right along. They still have a chute right alongside the bait tank.
Which you're gliding over that, because it was the most badass part of the whole thing.
It was really cool, but when they built it, everyone was going, how big of a fish do you think you'd get in there? Do you think a 40-pounder will fit? We're all looking, scratching our heads. I don't know. And then one of those stops with the bluefin we were talking about, you know, before we started the show, we had a 112-pounder.
That fit through there.
Yeah, but it didn't make the turn. It went down there and got, you can see the tail in the chute, and it just wouldn't make the turn into the fish hold. So
and so for those that are turning
up,
they're probably trying to figure out what we're talking about. But there was like a little mail slot that was.
Yeah,
the
little
the
flag wasn't there for got mail, you know.
Yeah,
but
right.
There was a lid. It was about like this.
Yeah, a really skinny.
And all the yellow tail, yellow fin, you know, everything we caught would go down there.
It was like 20 inches wide by like 12 inches or 14
inches. That's about
right. Real skinny.
Yeah. And then the fish well was a rectangle, and the chute went down this way. So the fish's head hit on the outboard side of the fish well, and the tail was stuck.
Wow.
But, you know, anything under 90 pounds would make the turn.
And that was the first boat in the fleet to have that style.
Yeah, yeah. No burlap sacks ever. And then we had to figure out rock cod fishing. Everything went on a stringer. We're going, we don't want to tag each.
Yeah.
Because we used to be able to fish a lot of hooks. Guys fishing 25 hooks at the 60, catch 25 perch. That's a lot. I got to get carpal tunnel syndrome,
just
stapling all the fish. So we started making stringers. And then that was easy. That was nice.
Right.
Person would have a stringer, get 10, 12 fish on the stringer, tie it off, drop it down, a couple of numbers on it.
So when did you start albacore fishing?
As soon as I lost my boat, I went to the South Pacific on a boat called the Wendy C for Micah Paulette Brown. And those trips are 6,500 miles to the fishing grounds.
6,500 miles?
Yes.
How long does that take?
31 days.
31 days.
Wow.
But we make a pit stop in Tahiti, squirt a little bit of fuel, get some groceries, mostly produce, and then those boats aren't built for speed.
Yeah.
They hold like 28,500 gallons of fuel.
Wow.
So we just...
And Fiji's like halfway into it, I'm assuming? I mean,
Tahiti, it's just...
Tahiti, sorry.
It's like 70% of the way.
Okay.
80% of the way. Because the fishing ground's like 10 or 11 days below.
So 20 days into it, I mean, to be able to get off the boat, you're probably like, hell yeah, get me out of here.
Well, I used to carry a bunch of books of movies. So we have a DVD player up in the wheelhouse.
And
hardly ever see any boats.
And we're
just driving.
We're a family-friendly show, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
a crate of movies.
So that was all
Albacore. Yeah, a crate.
That,
I mean, literally.
That was all Albacore?
Yeah, that's Albacore.
It was all Albacore.
Yeah, because we're talking about Atlantic, Albacore? Don't know, yes. But South Pacific and North Pacific, yes.
Bigger Albacore?
There were some nice ones, but it's...
Same.
Jig in, it's normally about a 15-pound average.
Yeah.
Some a little bit smaller, some a little bit bigger.
You're doing up in the Northwest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's the most friendly size. That's what you want. Those can rain on the boat, right? I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And they stack up good. The smaller the fish, the more you can get in there.
And somebody listening might think a 50 to 70 pounder might be better. But
it doesn't taste better.
Oh, okay.
So I think I've gone over this before in the show, but like bumblebee. Most of those fish are longline fish from the tropics that are caught really deep, and they're bigger fish.
What they call tombo?
Tombo.
Yeah.
And those fish are really dry. Not much oil, but a lot of mercury. High mercury, low oil.
Not good.
The jig fish that, once again, high seas tuna, best tuna you could possibly buy in a can. You got to look it up online. Can't buy it at the store. High seas tuna. If you open up the can, it's like they use the can as a cookie cutter. You got to dig the tuna out with a fork.
That's incredible.
Where the big stuff, like bumblebee and whatever, you open up a can and you turn it upside down, it's a bunch of little it's fragments and pieces and parts.
Otherwise labeled chunk light.
Yeah, well, but
so you can't buy high seas tuna in the store?
No,
Where do you buy it?
Online.
Online. High seas tuna?
High seas tuna. Maybe Jeff or... somebody will give me their website or something like that. They can text me. But that's everyone that we've set up with some of that tuna says that is absolutely the best that they've ever had. And I used to say it was the best, but they go, oh, you work for them. You're supposed to say that.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It's true.
It's really good.
Yeah. And it's all processed up in Oregon?
I think they have a cannery up there in Canada where they have their fish canned. I'm not exactly sure, but it's really good.
Yeah,
and they have a smoked. They got one low sodium. It's all packed in water. It's really good product.
Does it say "caught by Captain Joel" on it?
You got to jumble the letters around a little bit to make that. It's kind of like a but yes.
Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. A lot to talk about with Captain Joel. We just scratched the surface on the A word, the Albacore.
Right, exactly.
All his experience with catching yellowtail and stuff.
But
like
last
that.
Year, the fish were like 120 miles closer to San Diego. So maybe they're thinking, hey, we haven't visited San Diego in a while. Because that would be nice if I could just, especially the price of fuel the way it is, if I could just drive right out there and fill the boat.
That would be nice.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll swing down into paradise, right? Enjoy the 68 degree water we have outside here. But anyway, we have a really fun show and such an honor and a blessing to have Joel in the studio, in the world headquarters. And you want to join us, you can do so. We're going to be on the fan for a full 2 hours this morning. You can join us at 833-288-0973, or you can send us a text via the app. In that text, you do definitely want to make sure you include your name and your telephone number, because at the end of the show, Joel's going to flip the coin. There, he's got it in his hand if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook. That coin is going to determine whether the full-day trip on the Mission Bell brings back some nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
The full-day trip on the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing is going to go to a lucky caller or lucky texter. Again, give us a call, 833-288-0973, or send us a text via the app. We're going to be right back with Joel Ralston, the Albacore King, when we return on 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing Aptco Fillet Knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, Aptco Knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Fillet knives from Aptco. Any fish, any water.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
When you're pursuing big game fish, the right gear is essential. Not just the rod, reel, and line, but the right pair of binoculars, too. So upgrade your gear to the best pair of Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and more importantly, they service all brands right there at their San Diego Shelter Island location. Need the best? Fujinon Stabiscopes are the professional's choice. Looking for top-tier stabilization at a great price? The Fujinon TechnoStabi TSX 1440s deliver rock-steady vision, even in rough waters, perfect for serious anglers. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they'll be there when your binoculars need service. Plus, they'll give you a great price on all in-stock Fujinon binoculars. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and test a pair of Fujinon binoculars and see which ones are right for you. They even have compact and lightweight Fujinon stabilized binoculars for your next vacation or hunting trip. You know you need a pair of stabilized binoculars, so get them from the experts at Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
Hey, this is Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 hybrid boat from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa or check westcoastmarine.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, it's
just said it. So
what's that?
Cool.
Oh, it's such an honor. Here, right? It's a true honor to be in here with Joel
Ralston.
You've been
around the Seaforth days and the bait days and stuff, just seeing Joel.
Yeah, I mean, like my whole.
If you didn't see me, most people could just hear me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Him, I used to run my mouth a little bit.
Him and Ship Ahoy Roy on the other end.
Yeah,
Ship
boy.
Exactly.
So thanks to Jeff Hamby, our main man on the phones here,
yes.
And at the board, at the fan, highseastuna.com.
Thank you, Jeff.
And also Wayne Cotto did the same. And it's highseastuna.com, gourmet tuna. And why is it different? I mean, there's other ones like American
well,
tuna. It's a different product.
All the fish that come from Mike and Paulette on their boats, they're bled blast. So
and
it's different.
That's
brine.
Right. Okay.
So all the guys that use lift poles and bait pole and whatnot, they brine. That's how they refrigerate their fish.
Uh-huh. That's what you do?
So we could catch more. I mean, we don't have to stop fishing. We keep catching, and keep throwing them down there. And the brine will bring them down acceptably throughout the course of the day. Scotty said the boat that we my wife and I purchased.
Are you talking to Scotty Hawkins?
Yeah. He said he had a 24-ton day, and he was able to fish the next day.
Which is incredible.
Which is just a ridiculous amount of fish. And I saw pictures from, I mean, they're like waist high back there. If they catch one, I think two are falling over the side, and catch one more. Oh, it stayed, and catch one. And it got to the point of, wow, we got to drop these fish. But the bled blast market is different. So they bleed the fish, so like anyone that, like nowadays, all the bluefin that are caught sport fishing, you know, they're gill and gutted right away, and then they're dropped into the RSW on like the Royal Star, which is a fantastic boat. My wife and I went on the the 4 day after Christmas trip, which was a blast on that boat. Anyways, so they bleed the fish, and then the fish go down to start cooling off within 20 minutes. They don't lay on deck all day long. Our fish can lay on deck for quite a while, but we got a sprinkler system set up so that they never get like leather back because they've been sitting in the sun. There's always water raining on the fish, which is good. It's kind of like its own refrigeration system.
Right, 'cause it's cold
water.
Most
of the fish, well, albacore come out of the water at about 88 degrees. If you get a meat thermometer and stick it to the side of the fish, they're hot when they come out of the water.
That warm.
They are hot.
Because they're coming out of, what, 60 degrees? I mean, roughly?
58 and a half, 60, yeah. 62 okay. degrees. Right. So then we use the seawater to rain on them to slowly pull the temperature out of the fish, which is, makes it a little easier on the refrigeration because it's a 20-degree difference.
It doesn't make it work as hard, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah, it's like instead of trying to refrigerate a cup of hot tea, you know, trying to refrigerate something that's room temperature.
Right.
You know, so it's easier, it's quicker.
It makes sense.
So that's why your product comes out better.
No, it's just different.
It's different.
It's different. We got to add a lot of salt to the seawater to up the salinity so we can lower the temperature without freezing right. the water. Right. Where there, it's just blast, where they're negative 40 degrees, negative 36 degrees, way colder than we get our fish.
Yeah.
Our fish need to core out at like 6 degrees.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow. Well, let's jump into the phones. They're packed up. They want to talk to Joel.
Let's do that. In doing so, we're going to talk to Ed from University City. Good morning, Ed. Appreciate you joining us.
Morning, Ed.
Good morning, guys. Hey, back in the days when we used to have albacore around here and that, I was wondering, do they make a full circle and go maybe to Japan or someplace like that? And will we ever see the albacore in here again?
Well, the thing about albacore is that's one of the fish that they know very little about, actually, because they go really deep. We know that bluefin, the Shogun had a trip from Monterey Aquarium. They put one of those GPS tags in a bluefin that they got, we'll just say, like May 15th. Out in front of Totosanos, they caught a bluefin. They tagged it. The following year, almost exactly 365 days later, they caught that same bluefin within a half mile of where it was caught before.
Wow.
And they got the tag. And it showed that fish got it doing its thing around here, you know, whatever it did. And then it went whoop all the way over to Japan. Then whoop all the way back. It got caught almost exactly where it was caught the previous
year.
That
is crazy.
They got some – I mean, we –
So that's bluefin. What about albacore? Do they do that too?
A very similar
albacore,
cycle.
When they sink out, they go deep, and nobody really knows. We catch them in the South Pacific. We catch them in the North Pacific. They catch them on the other side of the date line.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, they'd be full of little rockfish and all kinds of...
Opportunistic
fish. Yes, yes. And you look at the size of their eye. You know, the size... I'm not a biologist by any means.
Well, they look trustworthy. Like, bluefin have beady little eyes. Don't trust them.
Yeah.
They look like they want to steal your wallet.
Right.
You know, but albacore, like, big puppy dog eyes. Like, what'd you do that to me?
But that eye almost dictates, like a swordfish. Like,
yeah, yeah.
How deep they can actually go and feed.
They go really, really, really deep.
Yeah.
So I don't... now I kind of lost...
I mean, 1,500 feet? I mean, 1,500 feet might be...
I don't know, but I heard a lot of stories when I was a kid about guys that used to fish the albacore. They'd be catching 1,000 fish a day per boat. Then the next day, it was like, where'd they go? And they'd all fan out for hundreds of miles looking for them. Then they end up wandering back, and they catch them right where they left
same
them.
Same spot.
The same exact
yeah.
spot.
So do you think the albacore life cycle is just a constant movement from eastern to western Pacific? And that's their whole... I mean, obviously, food is their whole
those
dictate.
Big fish we're talking about, they catch them in the middle. That's
yeah.
the tropics.
Okay.
So you have the equator. That's where the hot water is.
Yes.
And then on either side of it, the closer to the poles you get, it gets colder. So we got our fish up here, really hot. The breeding stock is in that really hot water down deep. And then you got that smaller fish that we catch again in that other cooler water.
Amazing.
So I don't know if they cross that line.
And like you say, they're so little known.
It's
the mystery fish.
And the cool thing is, I know you want to read a text. I'm sorry, but there's so much information that they can't catch them in a net.
No, because they're soft.
Right. I mean, that's why they're so expensive when you buy them in a can because
you gotta catch them one at a time.
One at a time.
Literally,
yeah.
Like there's no other efficient way.
No,
to harvest.
Yeah,
and so it's sustainable.
Well, there's drift nets which are illegal.
Yes.
They get them that way. So some countries.
Unmentioned. But
unmentioned.
But on a drift net, it's going to thrash the fish.
Yeah, they get marked up.
Yeah.
And they turn soft, like you're saying.
But yeah. They get marked up on the outside. You put them in a can. Who's going to know?
Yeah. So Jake in Carlsbad says, hey, guys, love the show. Wanted to ask Joel to share a best memory from fishing the half-day boats in La Jolla.
Oh, I remember, maybe not the best memory, but they sold 140 tickets.
Woo!
One afternoon for the boat. That's the Oceanside 95. We were the only open party boat. And
140 on one
140
boat.
Tickets sold. We untied the boat, and five people jumped off the boat with, like, the big Ocean Ranger tackle boxes, the big bundles of rods, and I was pulling everyone back on the boat. I said, no, no, I got to be here. You paid for this. You got to be here. Put your rods in the racks. Sit down. Have a beer, because this is something you've never seen before. You're going to want to see this. And all we did was break up fights.
Wow.
The whole day.
And what were you catching?
It was a full moon situation, two knots of current, fishing on the anchor, 135 lines going that way, right down either side of the boat. So, like, a tangle would be moving with a calico bass in it, or a tangle would be moving.
So, it was an exceptional fishing? That's why
there was opportunity, but we couldn't do anything with it. So, we would take the brush heads off the deck brushes, and we're prying people apart that weren't getting along. You get on that side of the boat. You stay right here.
Oh,
I don't want to see
God.
You guys within arm reach of each other the whole day.
Hilarious.
It was crazy.
That is crazy.
It was they had one of those posters. There's a BS fish tail with, like, 900 people on the boat, and somebody getting pulled off the boat with a pelican, and this and that. You know, it was that picture came from that trip.
So
because it was gnarly.
Wow.
So Joel, the Oceanside 95 is a sister ship to the new C4.
No, that was the second new C4.
Okay. I got
the first one was like all those 65s are gone now.
Yeah,
a 65-foot Ditmar like the.
So
Quest.
140 on a 65-footer?
No, it's the 95.
95, okay, I got you.
But the original new C4 was 65-foot.
Okay, I got you. Wow.
And then the new one now is the 85-foot Dolphins, the sister to it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Thank goodness these landings do put a cap on the number of people today.
Well, like, that 83 El Nino, we were doing limited load trips on the San Diego. I think we started coming up at 105
or
100 people. But the boat was licensed for 118, so that was limited load. You just forget about that other
118
people.
Was limited.
And it was good fishing. Every bait that, I mean, you find a kelp, big sonar score. We didn't have sonars then, just big shiner on the kelp and stop the boat. 100 baits hit the water, 100 rods would bend.
And 30 of them.
100 F-bombs would go off. A skipjack would go this way. People would get line catch on their neck. If they would swim around the bow and almost cut people in half. If everyone had Spectra, probably would have decapitated a few people.
Wow.
Because that was pre-Spectra. It was all monofilament. But it was just crazy. That first wave, you know, everybody would lose the first bite.
Yeah, that was Albacore.
No, that was a Yellowfin, Skipjack, Yellowtail, Dorado. That
83
El Nino.
The
big El Nino in 83 where the water was like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Or 72 degrees all the way down to 90 feet.
Jeez.
The big band of hot water. Yeah. It was just crazy good fishing.
Well, let's jump back on the phones.
Let's do that. How about Dan from West Covina? Good morning, Dan.
Morning,
appreciate
Dan.
You joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And Captain Joel, I wanted to ask you about the fishing up in Oregon and Washington, because I'm trying to get my brother to go albacore fishing since he lives up in Washington.
Yeah, you think...
Real quick shout-out about the PCS show. It was a really great time over there at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. First time for me to go there, and it was great seeing you guys. And meeting Pete and Wayne and everybody, and I tried to say hi to you, Corey, but you were really, really busy over there.
That's a good thing, Dan.
That was a very good thing. So congratulations on that, and look forward to going to future shows. But I enjoyed, you know, going trout fishing up there in Washington, but I'm trying to talk my brother into going out of Washington. I think it's Westport, and I figured, Joel, you might know about some of
that. That's where we offload our fish. You want to make sure they have bait. Bait's been kind of tough. Last year, the anchovies they had up there were huge, but it was tough for them to make, and they didn't have it till the end of the year. There's Ilwaco, where they, I think they had bait sooner available for the boats here out of El Waco, and they have a lot of boats here. In fact, Sean Trowbridge on the Legends is up there, the old Tracer. Him and his
yeah, he's
on
fishing
that
out of Cornell, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's out of El Waco.
Oh, that's the old Tracer?
That's the old Tracer, yeah.
Oh,
is it for sport fish or commercial?
Yeah, he takes
and he's fishing out of Westport?
No, El Waco.
El Waco.
Yeah, out of the Columbia River on the north side, on the Washington
side. Is that Oregon
side.
Or Washington? The Washington side, okay.
Wow. Well, that is a treacherous place to get in and out of, huh? The Columbia River?
Yeah, that place is...
There's some gnarly videos of that.
Well, it's just that El Waco channel changes because it's all sand and the water moves so much. You know, like last month you could go this way, you know, by you know the Nun Buoy and.
But it's moved a quarter mile over now.
And then all of a sudden you do the same thing on the same tide, and then all of a sudden you're stuck in the mud. So.
Gnarly.
I've only been aground twice in my life, and both times were in that
right
El Waco
there.
Channel.
Oh,
so once I was following my
test,
boss.
Huh?
I do, yeah. Yeah, definitely. This one comes from Sean in Oceanside. They included his name and number. Thank you, Sean. It says, hi, guys. Great show as always for sport fishing. What is the difference between fishing for albacore, bluefin, and yellowfin?
What you take home.
Right? I mean, that's true, too. But, I mean...
That albacore fishing is you get to sleep at night.
They just
bluefin fishing, you stay up all day, stay up all night. Use those big jigs. Try to catch those things at night.
Do the albacore not bite at night?
You know, the days are really long. The closer to the North Pole you get, the longer the days are. So they're like almost 17 and a half hour days.
Crazy.
So,
You need that 5 hours of sleep.
I need that 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah, right. Wow.
My crew may not, but I sure as
heck do. Yeah, for sure. Another great text here from Daniel in Santa Barbara. Interesting question. Good morning, gents. Great show. Question for Captain Joel. The albacore in the cooler water on the West Coast eat a lot of anchovies. What are they eating on the south in the South Pacific?
They've got some weird bait. I don't even know
not
what it's
anchovies.
Called. They look different. They kind of look almost like a queen fish.
It's not anchoveta.
No, it's not a chivetta. The life down there is really different. I don't know what they're called.
Is it a type of anchovy?
No.
No, it isn't at all.
They got brown backs. They make really good color spots if the sun's out. I mean, you can see it really good. But there's some years, like the boats are coming back right now from the South Pacific, the company I used to work for, and they had a horrible season. I don't think there's I don't think anyone had over 500 fish.
Whoa.
Some boats only had 250 fish. A lot of really bad weather. There's bait everywhere, birds everywhere, just no product. It was on the other side of New Zealand.
Crazy. So it's a healthy fishery, but there's just so much food and the weather, it made it a challenge.
Normally that's a good thing.
Yes.
Not the weather part, but right. When there's a lot of feed, you know, you see the birds on it, go over there, oh, look, big sonar mark, ding, ding, ding.
Right.
Because there's bells hooked up to the line, so every time we get a bite, they're bing, ding, 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 bing, 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 bing.
So how does that...
Do you ever get bells in your head when you're sleeping?
Oh, you've known me long enough.
Yeah.
There's a little bells ringing.
My bell's been rung a few times.
How does that bode then for your season in for up here? I mean, is that price-wise probably better?
Yeah, it's not going to affect the price because, you know, they're not flooding the market with fish.
Right. I mean, it's going to help you.
It's just the people that own the boat, that's a big chunk of change. It's a big gamble sending your boat to the South Pacific.
Yeah.
Because the boat I used to run the marina holds 28,500 gallons of fuel. So.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money on fuel. And normally you could count on at least recouping your expenses, you know, or, you know, recouping your expenses and having the guys make a little bit of money. It was a stinker of a year.
It's not a get rich quick thing.
No, not that this year.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Well, let's jump back on the phones, Corey.
Let's do that, Pete. How about Stephanie calling from La Mesa? Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't really have a question or anything. I was just calling in. You had mentioned the Mission Bell, and you know, I have really great memories fishing the Mission Bell with my husband.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Was Joel running it?
You know, I don't recall. It's been few years now, but it was like one of our big fishing trips together that we went out, and
it's a good fishing boat, that's for sure.
Tuna, so it was a great memory.
I remember having great days at the Coronado Islands on the Mission Bell with Joel running the boat. Just fantastic yellowtail fishing, man. We'd get on some fish.
It was fun.
Super comfortable boat.
Just that boat rides really nice.
Yeah. How many years did you run that boat?
Four.
4 years.
It was 90 to 93, I think.
Wow.
And then 94, I was on the Legend. 94 to 98.
Yeah.
98 to 2002 Conquest. Jeez, 2002 on.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right? And just so Stephanie knows, if she didn't hear earlier, she can still ride that boat today out of Point Loma Sport Fishing.
Depends on the flip of the coin.
Yes, right.
There it is.
Yeah.
And Cameron.
Giving away a trip.
Cameron owns a boat and has a great operation.
Oh, is that Steve P anymore?
No, it's Cameron.
Wow. Steve P.
Yeah.
Steve P makes guest appearances.
Like cameo appearances.
He ran the boat last week, but oh, Cameron's got other stuff going on.
He's on the enjoyable end of it now.
Yeah.
He can jump on when he wants.
Yeah, my wife was asking me when I was going to retire. It's as soon as when I can't turn the wheel anymore or backscan on the sonar or yell at my crew out the door, that's when I might retire. But I don't see that happening anytime soon.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Joel Ralston, albacore extraordinaire. We're going to have more from that and fish report some more when we come back on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and that 97.3 The Fan.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home with an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs. Your bait swims harder and longer, and when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Surge of Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at searchersportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's searchersportfishing.com. Look forward to welcoming you aboard.
If you spend serious time on the water, you already know how fast conditions can change. Glare shifts, light drops, wind kicks up, and when you're fishing all day, your gear has to keep up. That's why Costa built the Pilot House Pro. It's a semi-rimless shield designed to give you a full, unobstructed view of the water with the clarity Costa's known for and the protection serious anglers actually need. Pilot House Pro is Z87.1 Plus safety rated, ventilated to fight fog, and built to stay locked in when things get rough. From flying hooks to long hours in the sun, it's made for real conditions, not just the easy parts of the day. If you want eyewear that works as hard as you do on the water, check out the Pilot House Pro at CostaDelMar.com. See what's out there. Safety rated in U.S. only.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check KingfisherCharters.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. And so, I mean, I've already said this.
Lots of words of wisdom.
I've said this three times. It's such an honor, truly, to be in here with the man, Joel Ralston. And you want to join us, you could do so. Call us 833-288-0973 or send us a text via the app. It says right there, text the show. And and you could do that. And make sure you do leave your name and telephone number. And by the way, if you don't have the app yet, you can listen to yesterday's show, the archives. Yeah,
absolutely.
And, yeah.
A couple notes on that. Bill Varney just said that there's an update for the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Okay.
And some people have been complaining there's some issues with the old version of the app. So just do an update. Do a quick update of the app, and it'll correct any issues. I'm not aware of any issues.
I've never had any issues.
Bill Varney says there were some issues. And just do an update, whether you're on the Android device or on your iPhone or your iPad or whatever.
Good job, Bill.
Do an update, and it's all free and everything like that. And he says two of his buddies caught 10-pound browns yesterday up in his neck of the woods there in Colorado.
I bet that gets you going.
How about that, huh? The other thing I should note, too, is once again, if somebody wants to buy some of Joel's tuna that he catches.
Well, no, I used to catch. I don't work for them anymore.
Oh, you don't
work for them. They still have the best product,
okay,
to my knowledge.
So where does your fish go?
Wild Planet.
Wild Planet.
Which is at Costco.
I've seen that at Costco.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a great product as well.
But it takes a long detour. I think it might get canned in like Vietnam or something like that and come back up.
Oh,
it's still really cheap. I think it's, cost-wise, it's the cheapest.
Most affordable.
Most affordable, cheap makes it sound kind of janky. But still a really good product.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. And actually, I have a text here. Hi, interesting show as usual. I bought the High Seas Albacore product online. It's great tasting, and that's said with an exclamation mark. The website is highseastuna.com.
Okay.
So there's a firsthand.
I speak of the truth.
Coming in live.
Let's jump in and let's find out what's biting.
Oh, we've got Mr. Brian Woolley from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. It's brought to us by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by the location of Old Town and Taylor Street, or you can check them out at fishermansprocessing.com. And don't forget to make your reservations today. And good morning, Mr. Captain.
Captain
your title,
Brian,
right?
Woolley, yeah.
Captain Woolley. Good morning.
What's up? Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Man, Joel cracking me up.
Yeah,
line cuts on the neck. Like,
right?
You battled it out.
Can you imagine?
Like, you didn't think it was.
I don't have to imagine. I was there.
You
I
were
saw
there. You've been
I saw people were. I mean, it's like, oh, what's going on? Because that skipjack would just lay in its side, and just dart across the bow.
Yeah, that was classic,
you know,
man.
Crazy. Unfortunately, it's a guy with a rental pole. You know, just kind of feed line out, and his bait's kind of swimming wherever, and all of a sudden his line comes tight. And he turned around that way, and his rod's going this way, and peeling line off, and is like.
Oh,
I don't know, 50 people, 40 people between him and the bow, and just right around the bow. It's like,
imagine 100 people on the Clemente, Willie.
Yeah, it's insane. I know we used to do it with a 60, and it was too much. And limited load.
Limited load.
Limited
load. The boat is licensed to hold 118 people. 117 technically is a limited load because you didn't fill the boat.
Wow.
It's all perspective.
Thank goodness, Brian.
Those days are over.
Yeah, they're over, and it's a much more enjoyable experience today.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. It's all memories now, for sure. Well, hey, for us, a good week. Our water temp is still 65, 66, which is just crazy for where we're at on the calendar here. And it had some good movement to it this week, I'm sure, with the moon and whatnot. So bass guys on our half-day stuff, those guys continued to see some improvement every single day. Good bass action from, like, the surface really down to the bottom. So the live baits on the surface, we have a little bit bigger sardine this week, 5-6-inch sardine, so it took a little bit of work. And the birds have been kind of a nightmare, so having to avoid some of the birds with that live bait made it a little tricky. But rubber lures, hard jerk baits, all that caught nice calico bass this week. Guys wanted to go below the surface, still had to deal with a little bit of that swimming bird element. Still a kind of a nightmare, but the sinker setups did account for some nice sand bass, some sheephead, and some things off the bottom there. We're just telling our guys, watch the birds.
Cormorants, they're brutal, right?
It's
just like catching a yellowtail, nice thump.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
they kind of run away when you whack them with
the cap. Avoid that.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's good practice, for yellowtail fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nauseating. To put it out there for sure. Out deep, the sculpin and whitefish provided plenty of opportunity for those guys down at the bottom there. Easy to catch, made for some good fishing on those days. Our halibut derby is pretty much done. It'll be over on at the end of the month here. The last drift trip, Fish Friday, they had 11 fish, which was a pretty good score. Nothing giant. Everything was under 10 pounds. They were in tight. Again, I think that, you know, that fish was in on that grunion that's been, you know, lurking on the inside there. But still a good way to kind of wrap that up. I think the big fish in the derby is right at 25 pounds. So not small, not gigantic, but still a decent fish. So we'll see. There's still some people signing up. You can get in on a half-day or three-quarter-day trip if you buy into the derby there. So there's still a little bit of opportunity there before it shuts itself down. And then we're eagerly awaiting Wednesday, that Rockcod opener. We do have our trips fishing out are sold out. Three-quarter-day limited load on two boats is going to be out there fishing that stuff. But, you know, a little bit of wind, it looks like, maybe in the forecast a couple days this week. So if you want to come fish with us, again, just check the forecast. Make a reservation, and we can get you out there. But we're looking forward to a fun week, and we'll see how it shakes out. So if you want to come with us here, our number 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us on the web as well at danaworf.com.
Fantastic. And, yeah, Wednesday, April 1st, April Fool's Day, and that means opening of rockfish season. So
yes.
How about that?
Deep water. Get to turn the handle more.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And and hopefully the weather doesn't look like a ton of wind, right, Willie?
No, I mean, there's a little, you know, it went from being rainy and windy to the rain coming later in the evening, and so possibility of rain, I should say that. But, you know, something's got to get those clouds here, and usually that's the wind. So we'll kind of see, we'll see how that happens. But I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be able to get the day in and have a good time nonetheless.
Sounds good. Well, hey, again, if somebody wants to come, Dana Worth Sport Fishing, how do we find you?
Cool. DanaWorf.com or our number here, 949-496-5794, or they can just link us there through the Let's Talk Hookup page and go from there.
All right. Thanks, Willie. Appreciate that very much, and we'll talk to you next Sunday. Hey.
All right, guys.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Willie.
Hey, one note fun. Later on in the show, the second hour, we're going to have Captain Seth Bowen from Kingfisher Charters calling in a report, go over some of the limit situations in Alaska and some of the talk about Kingfisher Charters. So he'll join us for a few minutes on the phones live from Sitka, Alaska. So stay tuned.
How cool.
Yeah, stay tuned.
And that's where Brandon and Rockhod Rick just speak so highly.
Finest operator.
Yes, I know. It's so amazing for sure. Yeah. I had a funny story, and I remember going back to the Joel Ralston days. When there was a bad bird problem, the blown up trash bag inside of a gunny sack.
Well, for pelicans, just a burlap sack, you put it on the gaff and you wave it, or just float it behind the boat, and they're like, "Oh, look what they did to my friend!" You know,
yes.
I guess their eyes are.
No, it works. This is a PSA right here. No, it does work.
Like, where does head go? Where's his wing? Let's stay away from this.
You blow up a trash bag inside of a gunny sack.
Yeah,
tie it off and just string it behind the boat.
And
they will not come around the boat.
No,
period. Yes.
I wonder if it works on cormorants.
I don't know.
But it used to be kind of ridiculous because people would catch, like, there'd be 75 or 80 pelicans between me and the door there, which is, what, 8-9 feet?
Yes.
Yeah.
And people keep casting right in the middle of the pelicans. They hook a pelican. They go, "Oh, those stupid birds." Well, dude, get a sinker and maybe come up here and see if you can slide a bait under the birds.
Well, like
maybe.
Like Willie was saying, the cormorants have been out of control. Like at the Coronado Islands when I was there last week, it was just out of control. They'd get almost every bait. If you had a bait that didn't swim, they had it.
Dead bait, no weight.
And like I say, if they're smart. You pick up the gaff and wave it, they're gone. They leave. So you just have to have a gaff in one hand and the rod in the other, and they wouldn't come near your bait. If your bait could swim, get it away. Then you're good.
Yeah, there are a lot of years when, I mean, if there's no bait.
When
the natural bait is scarce, it's just like, you know, the sport boats, they all have bait. The birds are on you. It's
going to have to try the bag trick, though, with that.
Or it works.
That's only for pelicans.
Oh, it won't work on cormorants?
No, cormorants don't care.
They don't care.
No. They're Japanese fishing birds.
Yeah, they're good at it, too.
Yeah. So, catch a cormorant, and then just put a little ring around their neck, and then send them on down there and see if you'll
catch
you a rockcod or something like that and wind it back up.
Yeah.
Maybe frowned upon. But.
Let's continue our catch report. Surf guru extraordinaire Gundy Gunderson's on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Gundy!
How's it going, you guys?
It's going great. How are you?
You know, you can always... standing on a bait receiver for years, you can always judge the bait situation by the bird situation, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And when it's... when that bait's down, you know, the birds can't feed and they get desperate, you know, and that's kind of one of the elements there. But you know what? We got some good surf fishing, Pete. I just, we're in March. It's early, but the water temperatures just continue to, you know, amaze. We had 68 degree water this morning at Scripps Pier. Most of it is like 62 off Santa Barbara, which is pretty darn warm for this time of year. And then like 65 plus from Dana Point South, but definitely a little different situation. And the fishing is really dictated by this water temperature as much as by the time of year. You know, the other thing involved is the grunion are running, and we've had a patch of good weather here. So the surf anglers found good fishing on many fronts. Hook, line, sinker reported good surf perch fishing with lots of spawners reported. Better models to maybe 12 inches. The western beaches like Gaviota, Refugio, El Capitan, producing grubs, gulp, mussel, all working. Some better fish on the hard jerk baits. We've talked about that. Several short to legal white sea bass taken. Goleta continues to be a hot spot. Those guys are getting fish daytime and nighttime, so that's something to think about. The white sea bass catch was topped by a 36-inch fish. Just Fishing reported solid perch action off Hermosa, Manhattan beaches. Spawners to 10 inches. A 34-inch halibut was taken on a cherry berry flash minnow off Torrance Beach there.
Hey, Gundy, can you stay with us and come back with that?
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
I'll see you on the other side.
Perfect. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. More Joel Ralston, more of the Surf Report when we return on 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
You know why a million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel. Great service and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen, and they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from for only 89 cents, and even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents, too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash, and for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline. Lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for?
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
The PCS Show is coming, and we will have our best booth ever. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Check us out in the wildly popular saltwater building at the PCS Show in Costa Mesa. We will have exclusive products and promotions available only from us. Everything at the Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth will be on sale with a ton of high-quality saltwater products that no one else at the show will have. For saltwater tackle at the PCS Show, your best stop is the Fisherman's Landing Tackle Booth. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. All our open party trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.